Well, welcome. Welcome to the Leadership Lounge. It's great to have you with us again. Well, I say Leadership Lounge. It's not really a lounge, as you can probably tell if you're watching us on YouTube. We're sitting here in a porter cabin on the edge of a building site because I'm here to introduce our guest in the Leadership Lounge, and you'll find out why we're on a building site. Today we have with us, we've got Richard Dedicote, who is the head teacher of Grace Cook Primary School and Nursery, and he's joining us today to explore our new topic. So welcome, Richard. It's great to have you joining us. Do you want to tell us a little bit about your current role?
Okay, so from January this year, I am the head teacher of Grace Cook Primary School with a nursery as well. I've been in that role for a few months now, but it's rapidly speeding up and getting to that excitement of opening in September 2022 for nursery, reception, year one and year two children.
So you've just worked in there. The fact that you are head teacher, but the school hasn't opened for children yet, so you're going to be opening a brand new primary school.
Absolutely, a brand new primary school. We can see it behind us here. Going up. They're on track. But tremendously excited to build something literally from the ground. I remember coming up to the site last June and it was a field. So it's, we watched every moment of this.
Yeah, so you can literally say, like some of the old times, I remember when this were all fields. And for those who are watching us on YouTube, you can see behind us the fluoro jackets and the safety hats and the danger construction, because we are literally filming this on the edge of the building site for the school. So it's great to have you with us today. We're going to be introducing our topic, which you've already hinted at in just some of the phraseology we use. But just to introduce this, so Seth Godin said that leadership was painting a picture of the future, going there, and people will follow. And he makes it sound so simple. And you and I both know that leadership is not that simple, is it? But the basic principle of having a vision for the future, explaining it to people and taking them with there is key. So this vision is key, and we're going to explore that as part of our topic today. And it's then that comes the hard work of building it, though, doesn't it? And we're going to explore that. So you're starting this brand new primary school here in Stowmarket, Grace Cook Primary. And at the time of this interview, as we can see, it's an absolute building site. And so you are expertly placed, Richard, for our topic, which is starting from scratch. That's our topic for the Leadership Lounge, because you literally are starting from scratch, and we'll explore a few of those things together. So, Richard, when you landed this job, which, for those people who are listening in that are head teachers or working in education, this is possibly a bucket list job, to be able to start a school from literally a field and create that ambience and vision and purpose from scratch is just what many head teachers would have on their list to do. And you've got it. So I imagine you sitting down when you were told, yep, you are going to be the head teacher, sitting down really chuffed and then getting out a blank piece of paper to start for the school. But then maybe having that, I've got the job, but where do I start feeling? So where did you start?
Well, funny you mention it, Colin, because here is the blank piece of paper.
Here's something you made earlier.
It was from paper, but thinking, going back to what you just said, I was very emotional when I was offered the position, because it is something I've always wanted to do as a head teacher, to open a brand new school. But it was really thinking, okay, how do I want this to be? And I had the luxury of being offered the position last June, and now I've had some time to really consider what I want Grace Cook to look like, and the types of people that will be involved with that journey with me. So it's been a tremendous opportunity, and I've had that space to really consider what's going to make the most effective school for the community of Stowmarket. And people that don't know Stowmarket, there's a lot of housing development at the moment, and the school is in the middle of an estate that's growing, but there's nothing else here. So the school will be at the heart of, whatever happens within the community. It will be a really special place.
So there's a sense for you, you had a bit of time to think, you let that kind of mull, it's a key phrase I let me mull on that, you let it ruminate. You thought as well about the sense of, what does this town need? What does this area of the town need? To think about what that would look like. Now, you grabbed your piece of paper then. So did you literally start with a blank piece of paper?
It was a blank piece of paper with lots of thoughts. I do a lot of dog walking, so lots of thinking whilst I was walking my dogs, and how could I visualise this school that doesn't exist? I've got an image of it in terms of a 3D model and some computer graphics, but what will it allow children to become? you know, what will it enable them to do that they can't already do?
Yeah.
And what will make it a little bit different from the other schools around the area as well, because there are a few other existing primary schools that have been here for a number of years.
Yeah.
And, you know, we need to be different. Yes, to give the children the basics of what they need to enable them to progress through school and into adulthood, but also, you know, for them to dream big, things that they perhaps wouldn't imagine they could do now that they can do in the future.
So we're already pulling out here some key elements when you're starting something from scratch, because the people who listen to this podcast, who watch it online, they will come from a range of backgrounds, education, business, charity sector, and what we're trying to pull out are key strands for anybody. So what you've talked about there is really thinking about who is this for. So you talked about the children. What is it that they need? What is it that we want them to become? So thinking about beyond the fact this is a building. I mean, we're sitting here on a building site, but you recognise that what you're creating here is more than the building, and it's actually about who this is for. So when you're starting something from scratch, a key strand already is, who's this for? And really think about that. Now, we're going to explore a number of things here. And you know, if you would just do a quick Google on starting something from scratch or business from scratch, you'd come up with a whole range of things. Different websites will suggest different things. But for me, I think there's four things I want to explore with you and to help our listeners. And the first one is thinking about our drivers. So we've already hinted about that. Just, and one of the drivers you talked about for you was your was the children. But we'll explore kind of your purpose, your values, the kind of mission, which as you've hinted at already, what your drivers and how that moves it forward. We'll also think about the team and your partners. So, you know, we'll explore with you about creating a team and what's the key thing you look for in pulling that in together, but also who you partner with. So an organisation like a school, and for many of our listeners, you don't just work in isolation, you work with others. We'll look at the community, how you create community. We'll look at some of Seth Godin's work around creating a sense of tribe and belonging, and the importance of that when you're starting something from scratch. And lastly, probably really apt here, is the home, where you base yourself and what's important in that particular aspect. So let's look a little bit more on drive. As you already hinted, to think about who this is for you, that was the children, really think what they need. Well, in my work, in working with leaders as a coach and as a trainer, I really stress the importance of personal purpose, that when you as a leader know your personal purpose, it can energise you. And also knowing the purpose for your organisation and how those align. So, Richard, have you ever thought about your personal purpose? And if so, what is your personal purpose?
Personal purpose, I think about it does centre around growth for me in terms of, you know, growing my own abilities and interests and my own imaginations. And then probably, you know, using that to enable others to become better versions of themselves. So I think that's, for me, is the purpose I feel that, you know, why I wanted to continue to be a head teacher. I've been a head teacher of a number of schools, but this is a different purpose because it's something, you know, we've talked about before, a clean slate, starting from fresh. And, you know, I used this image in my interview about, you know, growing something from a seed. I spoke about the field earlier, but now I'm seeing bricks and mortar going with for a physical structure. But I'm also talking about who's going to be within, you know, inside that building, you know, the children, the community, and not just the parents, but the broader community, in terms of who will use the school, who will see the school as an important facet for their own lives. And, you know, they're the future, aren't they? The children that will have at Grace Cook. So I want to make sure that they've got the very special journey sort of paved out for them, really.
Yeah, that's great. And for those who are listening, Richard just pulled out a small plant then, which is, and you talked about the seeds there, and you've talked about literally from the field and growing something up. So the reason I asked you around your personal purpose is that I think if you're starting for something from scratch, that our personal purpose needs to really align with the purpose of whatever we're starting from scratch. So I know, for example, people would say, well, surely the purpose of the school is to educate children. And you've kind of hinted a bit at this with your principle around growth for you personally, and you pulled out a small plant, you know, and you've been, but for you, what's the school's purpose of Grace Cook? And how have you practically gone around generating that? Was it just you and a piece of paper? You know, so your personal purpose is growth, but what's the purpose of Grace Cook that you see it?
So it stems around community. So yes, okay, my vision is there, but it's also about me talking to the local people, to the local parents to the children, and anybody that's got an association with Stone Market. So I'm a member of the Stone Market business group, so it's talking to local businesses and finding out how they can be involved with the school and what they could offer to support us. And that's very much my mantra, is about reaching out to people. I don't have all the answers, and I think that comes down to, you know, the people that work in the school. We won't have all the answers, but we'll go and find those answers, and we'll use the people around us. Stone Market's going through, from what I can see, a bit of a regeneration. There's going to be lots of sporting facilities that the children will be able to use as well, that are going to be even greater than they are now. So it's about looking at the local people and saying, right, what could you add to us? What ingredients could you put into the Grace Cook pot, and, you know, make Grace Cook a really inspirational place to be? Now, Grace Cook, you may well mention this later, Colin, but you know, she was an inspirational female astronomer from years gone by, but the local people didn't know about her from today. So now she's got a place on the map, and it's about us giving children that opportunity to dream big, to think, actually, could I be an astronaut in the future? Maybe I could. And then us enabling them to get there, to reach for whatever they might be. It might not be an astronaut, it could be anything, but to enable them, and using the community around the school to make that happen, as well as, you know, really high quality teaching and learning in the classroom from everybody that is part of the school.
Yeah, so you're right, we will pull out a little bit about Grace Cook, because I think I want to dig a bit deeper in that and to understand this journey for you when you're starting from scratch, of your personal purpose and the sense of the purpose for the organisation. But what you've just said is around community, and you've talked about growth. So you want growth for the children, and you want involvement in community to do that. So the Grace Cook, obviously, is the name of the school, and it's based here in Stone Market. And your website for the school says, Grace Cook is a great role model. She was a pioneer who campaigned for women's rights in science. She was innovative in her work, and she looked well beyond her horizons. So how is the school then, if it's named after her and she was innovative, how's the school going to be innovative? Have you got any idea of how you're taking that kind of purpose through?
Well, it's looking for us for pockets of innovation. We need to get the basics right from day one, so that the children know and they feel safe in the school, and they've got a structure to their brand new school that, you know, isn't running at the moment, but will be in September. But it's also about that science element as well, because, you know, science for me is one area where children can really find out, discover, be really curious, and there's a real focus for children, you know, within the curriculum now to be curious and find things out and discover with their friends about things that they don't already know about. So using that science element, using Grace Cook's name, you know, to develop that within the school and within the community around us. And now we're on the A14 here, just off the A14, so we've got, you know, quick direction to good hubs around the country as well, where we can draw that science knowledge, and certainly within the Stone Market community as well, to enable us to become even better scientists from a primary age, but also to, you know, ask questions, big questions that perhaps we don't know the answers to, but, you know, using all our community folk to help us get to where we want to get to.
Yeah. So for our listeners, in one sense, they might be thinking, oh, hang on, we're just finding out about a new primary school. But actually, what we can pick out here is your personal purpose around growth leads into the school purpose. You want children to grow, and you've talked about this sense of bringing community in to help that. And you've just talked about the link with the name of a scientist, and what you want there is that curiosity and the big questions, which, of course, when we are curious and ask big questions, leads to growth. So what I want our listeners to pick out this strand is, if you're designing something from scratch, it comes from aligning with your purpose as an individual, but also thinking really clearly about what's the purpose of our organisation that we're starting up. In this case, a school from scratch. For other people, it might be a business. For other people, it might be a project that they want to start, but it's thinking really clearly about that purpose and kind of how that goes through. So your school says the school will be named after Grace Cook, 1877 to 1958. So that's why perhaps some people hadn't perhaps remembered her. But she was a pioneering astronomer who lived in Stone Market, one of the first group of women who were elected as the fellows of the Royal Astronomical Society, a leading expert on meteors and comets as part of that process. So it says in the website, it's important for the trust to name the school, has a strong local connection, and it will inspire the children. So we've talked about that sense of name linking to purpose. Is that why you chose the name then? Because it linked to purpose, or did you choose the name and then you've created the purpose from that?
Well, the name was because, you know, she was an inspirational female astronomer, but it was also, we spoke to the community and say, what do you think? Do you think this would be a good name? And it was a resounding yes from the community. So the community have supported that, you know, rather than call it a bland name, perhaps that, you know, describes, you know, maybe the area more so. But so it's quite significant in terms of the USP for the school is in the school name. And every time you talk about the school, you'll talk about Grace Cook. So I think the community have got a real, they've already sort of velcroed onto that name, and it'll I feel that will bring them, you know, along with the journey of the school, and I think that's part of, you know, how we grow the school and the community is bringing people with us, so that they're part of it.
So again, you talked about the importance of community as part of that and involving them in the shaping of it. But as I'm hearing this, what you've got is this sense of your purpose as an organisation meant you looked at local names, but you chose this name because it aligned with the purpose of what you wanted for your organisation, for the children. You wanted growth, you wanted innovation, you wanted curiosity. And so therefore that was the ideal name to pick. And as you say, then every time someone mentions the name of the school, the question comes, well, who is Grace Cook? And then it leads on to that sense. So for anyone designing and starting something from scratch, it's thinking actually quite carefully about the name and what that stands for and how it links to you, which is great. In my work with organisations, I often talk to them about creating an alignment and work with them about creating alignment between their purpose, which is the kind of why of the organisation, which we've explored with you already, the values of kind of how you deliver it, and the mission, which is the what that you're actually going to do. How important has that been for you as you've tried to and started this journey of creating this from scratch? How important has that shaping and that alignment being between your purpose, your values, and that kind of mission, the what you're going to do?
It's been really important, and I think, you know, I come back to the piece of paper.
Yeah, so do we get to see what's on this piece of paper?
Well,
then?
I will open the paper, but, you know, the key part for me is that, you know, I've had time to consider this and talk to people about it. You know, you talk about like an elevator speech and talking about what your purpose is, what you want to achieve from it. And every time you talk about it, it becomes clearer in your mind.
Yeah, yeah.
But there's also some adjustment as well. So part
of... So is this the original piece of
this
paper?
This is the original
do
piece of paper.
Do you want to show it to the camera?
I will show it to the camera, yeah. So you can see my the growth there, for G for Grace. So I aligned it around Grace with the excellence at the end there. So that's sort of like your outcome.
So this was your original thinking?
Yeah, my original.
And has it stayed like that, or have you shaped it? Has some other words come out instead?
It has stayed similar. Growth is, I've talked about a lot, and I've talked about excellence, you know, doing everything you can to the best ability you can, and that's everybody, that's not just the children, that's anybody that's involved with the school, that could be governors, that could be parents involved, it could be visitors to the school, you know, and whatever your role is in the school, but doing the best job you can at whatever point. I think the part that's changed to me is to really condense down what your sort of core values are. Because I think, you know, there are so many values in life that are important to each individual person, but courage, and I come back to that, children really trying their very, very best. And again, I'm a bit of a visual person here, but I've got a ball of elastic bands here. Bounce back ability, or whatever you want to call it, resilience. Life is tough. And I think we need to teach our children, particularly what we've been through in the last couple of years, through the pandemic, and give them the strength to bounce back from things that haven't gone well. So courage when things aren't going well, when they make mistakes, they take risks, and we encourage those risks, but things won't always go well. And, you know, it's not a straight road in life. You know, there are bumps along the way and curves. And then honesty, just being honest about your own ability with each other when things aren't going right, and making sure that you really do challenge people in an appropriate way to get the very best out of them. And that comes back to the growth element. You know, if people are going to get better and become better versions of themselves, we need to enable that. And being honest for me is, you know, is really, really important. Something, you know, that I hold very, very highly.
Yeah, so it's interesting. So your purpose is around this growth. You talked about innovation. Therefore, the values that you're going to try and instill, and you're already, kind of, even without the children being here, you're thinking about growing this sense of courage, resilience, and honesty, the values that will then help that growth to come from it and be the seedbed for it. So again, for our listeners, thinking about if I'm starting something from scratch, being really clear on my purpose, really clear on the values in which that will support that to grow, the values that we have to show behaviours in order to operate that, enables the purpose to come alive. And they kind of fulfil each other, don't they? When we behave like that, it encourages, in your case, growth. When we have that aim of growth, if we work those through in those values, and they just become this cycle that supports. So that's really helpful. So hopefully for our listeners, they can see that importance of being really clear right from the word go, not just the what is it going to be, in this case, a building that's a school, but actually getting really clear on those purposes first enables you to make sure it's really effective. So the next one we were going to look at was this sense of creating team and partners. So once you've got all that mission and the values all clear, how do you practically go around finding people that want the same purpose as you? Because, you know, you said you are the head teacher and, you know, there would be children joining you. Have you employed anyone? And if so, how have you gone around making sure they've got that alignment to the purpose?
So we've begun to appoint people now. So we've got two members of staff that we've appointed so far. It is hard because... so many times as a head teacher, I've gone to a school and I've inherited a team of people who you work with and, you know, develop them that way. But this time there is no team. I have a team within the trust, which is great. So I work closely with, you know, the trust head teachers and staff across the trust. So already I've become part of a bigger team. But my team at Grace Cook and our team at Grace Cook will develop over time. But I think for me, there's a sort of key element here, really. And you may well be familiar with the phrase Ubuntu. A Zulu phrase. Now I have Zulu links. My brother's married to a Zulu and is very, very, very clear in their communities, and I've had the opportunity to visit South Africa a couple of times, is about us filling our part in that community, being quite humble to each other, and working as closely as we can and helping each other. Fitting in the gaps like a jigsaw puzzle where you don't have quite the right piece to fit in within that community, and drawing from each other's skills. I've mentioned it earlier, I will not have all the skills for the school to be the successful school it will be. I will need to have a team of people that will work, you know, well with each other. They'll link up, and whatever I don't have, I will appoint people to the team that have skills that would benefit the school moving forward. Sometimes, as well, with those people that we appoint, they will have different personalities that I feel would work well with the school, that they can work well as a team.
It's really interesting you talking about Ubuntu. So we've mentioned this before on some of our podcasts, and it's the principle of I am human because of the other. It's not just, we're not individuals, we're part of a team. And I love the way you've described that there as like jigsaw pieces. And so as you've looked and you talked about, actually we might get some different personalities in order for us to blend and things that they'll bring to the table that I might not bring. So obviously, without going into details of the two members of staff you had employed, but what have you used then as the driver for looking for that right kind of person who perhaps shares that Ubuntu mindset that you've talked about? Is there anything that you've used as a guide that maybe our listeners can consider if they're looking to bring people into their team?
I mean, one question we did ask at the interview, which was a great question, which actually was posed to me by another one of the team within the trust, was if we didn't appoint you, what skills would we be missing out on? So it was inviting those applicants to say, actually, this is what is good about me. So I suppose it's me looking for the best attributes within those people, looking for something that I feel could grow as a skill or an attribute as well within the school that would suit the school from September 2022, but equally I could see that being a stretch skill. So actually I could see that person growing. So I'm looking for people that I can grow. So it comes back right to the beginning, my purpose of growth, and not having someone that's just a finished article, that actually you've got potential within you to be even better than you are now.
Yeah, great. That's great. And what I love there is two things. One, you've explained for our listeners, always take it back to what your purpose and mission is. But I think there's one that they could take into theirs as well, this principle of looking for people who have potential to grow. So that fits your purpose, but I think that's for everybody looking to start something from scratch. Do they have that potential to grow? And that links in nicely to some key reading, again, that I often share with those I work with in coaching, which is Patrick Lencioni's work around the ideal team player. And he talks about the people you should look for should be humble, hungry, and smart. e.g. they think less of themselves and more of others, or they understand their place in that humility, hungry for success for the organisation, and smart being that emotionally intelligent, not necessarily the academically intelligent. So how have you gone about, has that come into any of your, both looking for people that you've got on board, but also as you look ahead, as you continue to grow the team, do you look for people who are humble, hungry and smart as part of your process?
I do, and also I look for people, and this is a quote I took for James Kerr's book, Legacy, people that aren't afraid to sweep the sheds.
Yes.
So brilliant. People that are happy to get their hands dirty, no matter what is the job. Yes, your job is this. This is your job description. These are the things that you're expected to do. But actually, if something needs fixing, you're not afraid to go and step in and do that, even though it isn't really your job. But so, yes, people that are humble, that are hungry to be successful. But also people that, you know, have got something about them that I can just see, yeah, you would really work within the jigsaw puzzle of Grace Cook. And obviously now I've got a picture of a big jigsaw puzzle with the members of staff, and there are lots of pieces that are still needing to be fitted and placed in there. And I, you know, as we go for our next recruitment process in the next few weeks and leading up to September, it's about finding those pieces, and perhaps I won't find all the pieces straight away. You know, it may well take some time to build the team so that it does all fit together. And obviously it's the challenge of an ever-growing school to then add in additional pieces as the school grows. So that's an additional challenge. But it can, you know, bring it back to the beginning again, looking back at why we're here and reviewing that.
And I love your phrase that you've used from James Kerr's book around not afraid to sweep the sheds, which is blends that humble, hungry and smart, doesn't it, to it, in terms of they're not afraid to roll their sleeves up. And so again, a key thing for any listeners, as you're pulling people into your team, they're not afraid to roll their sleeves up and get alongside and do the hard work. As well as people you employ in your school, as a school, you'll partner with other organisations. You talked earlier about how you met with the local Chamber of Commerce, Stowe Market Chamber of Commerce, and got there and kind of feed in as you were beginning to shape the school. But there'll be others that you'll now want to develop partnerships with. That can be as simple as, who do we get to do our bin collections, can't it? What is it that you kind of have looked for about getting the right partners, and how do you ensure you've got those?
I think it's about partners aligning to our vision and our purpose, and me approaching people that I feel can add to the growth aspect. So, you know, we've been working with the local church who have been supporting us for leaflet dropping and things like that, just to get the name out of about Grace Cook. They've recently contacted me about using the school as a community space for their church from September. It's about linking with the other schools. So I've spoken to a number of the local head teachers from the high school and the local schools, and some of them are part of another trust. So it's about building those partnerships to say, actually, we want to work with you. Mm. We're here for the Stowe Market, you know, the children's success is here. So working alongside them. But equally, looking at the parent body as well. And, you know, we've got a lot of parents who come from different backgrounds, but can also offer a lot of different things. So looking from a governance point of view, from parental involvement in that, and also from the local community, who could add a different dynamic to the school to support us to, you know, challenge what we're doing, but also to support, you know, the school as it grows and moves forward with the population. And anybody else really within the community, local shops, owners and people like that, who can, you know, add just a different dimension. I talked about those pockets of innovation. It's about maybe, and I think as a head teacher, I've not realised how powerful local business can be in a school. And that's something I hope to, you know, make the school even more sort of unique from, is about using local businesses in a slightly different way.
So again, it's that key thing as again, for our listeners, who shares that common value? Where do we get like a Venn diagram? Where do we get the overlap? And that's where we start making the partnership. Sarah Manning, in one of our previous podcasts, just talked about the importance of quality control. In her one, we were looking at how you build business. And so this is particularly important when you're looking to partner with people. So they might share the same vision, but when you're in those early stages, what things have maybe you got in place to think about ensuring that the partners you're partnering with keep that same level of quality as yours? Because that could reflect back on your organisation as well. So is there anything you've got in mind there, or that you've started to do already, to ensure that the partners you partner with not only have the same vision, but have a sort of similar view around quality to you?
Well, it's about growing that vision and that purpose. So me sharing the story with others. So I've now got a chair of governors, and between us, we're now sort of like reaching out to the community. So it's going along with the same story. Showing sometimes the piece of paper saying, okay, this is where I came from. This is the journey that I've been on. And asking them questions, sort of delving a little bit, you know, deeper in their makeup and finding out what they have to offer us. Would they align to what we're thinking and considering, and not just accepting them for, you know, it's somebody I've been recommended, actually meeting them face to face and having a conversation, asking them to ask me questions about, you know, the school, and dig a little bit deeper and find out whether it aligns to where what they would like to contribute to. And really, for me, it's what can they offer us that would make our school even better than I visualise it will be.
So when you're partnering with someone, you're talking about what they offer, but what I love I'm hearing from you here, which again is useful for our listeners, is around that real relational conversation. This is not just a kind of quick exchange, isn't it? You do this for me, I'll do that for you. It's about really getting to know them alongside that, and them getting to know you, to see actually is this a partnership, and delving deeper than just a transactional kind of relationship. That leads us on nicely to this third one, which is around community and creating a sense of tribe. So Seth Godin, in his book Tribes, talks about the importance of creating a tribe based around an idea, and that what we need is either an idea and principle that we'll gather around. So we've heard about your one, it's around growth, a way of connecting and communicating around that idea. So he talks about setting up systems so that the tribe can communicate with the leader, and the leader communicate with them, but also that the tribe can communicate with one another as well. So have you done any of that? You know, you're starting a school from scratch. Have you created any sense of tribe or community? And is it all based around growth that you've done that?
I mean, I think the tribe, the developing that community, is about finding the right people to join the tribe. You're going to need the leader, but I think I look for leadership within everybody I appoint. And I think, you know, good leaders will develop leaders. And I think for me, that's part of developing the tribe. The tribe is on everybody to have that feeling that I can lead something within this tribe, within this school community, to give them a sense of purpose themselves, that they can grow their own skills, their own aspirations. And if they don't believe it, is actually just teasing out of them. And I think for me, that's one of the most, it's one of the best things in life is about seeing someone grow and then them show you, you know, something you knew they had within them. And within a school community, that's really, really powerful, particularly if you ask someone to do something and then they've done it even better than you've ever thought, or they've done something you'd hope they would do without any guidance from you, because you've given them the tools, they've then enabled themselves to, you know, to achieve something, to better a situation or an event, for you know, two examples there, really.
Yeah. So in a sense, as a leader, one of your roles, you see it as empowering the other members within your team to also continue to play their part in celebrating that. Now, one of the areas as well is about how you set up the communication channels to ensure that everyone knows what's going on. And I know, for example, you've been doing a few little videos that you've been putting out as the head teacher of a school at the moment with no children. So is it just been some videos? What have you done then to kind of set up this communication with those that might be interested in joining your tribe of Grace Cook Primary School and Nursery?
So it's been a really different way of doing these this type of communication, because in the past I have, you know, had children that have joined the school and I may well have, you know, invited them in and shown them around, but this has been very much me going out to the community. So I've done one-to-one visits with families and with the children, something I've never done before as a head teacher. Absolutely fantastic, and something I certainly will repeat in the future. I don't know another head teacher that goes out and visits their children coming into their school and taking them a book and reading to them straight away and really getting to know the family and the community. Social media, again, that's been a really good learning curve for me, in terms of it is, for some parents, the only way that they're going to get information. In fact, some of our applications for Grace Cook have been solely through our social media presence. Mm. So Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, whatever it might be. The little vlogs that I've started, little videos just to show on site. I'm meeting a lot of different people, but it's about me just keeping in contact with people. I can do it through letter and newsletters, which I have do on a monthly basis, but equally it's quite powerful to get a message. And certainly the amount of views we're getting from those are a lot higher than other posts. Mm. Radio, newspaper, podcasts, another one. Mm-hmm. Potentially this will be a way of getting the word out there, but just a variety. And it comes back to purpose and planning. So many different ways of getting information out to people. You know, I think probably as a result of me doing that, I was walking around the site last week and it took me about 20 minutes to get from one place to another because two individual people stopped me and said, "Oh, you're Richard Dedicate, the head teacher of Grace Cook Primary School. I've seen you on social media." Mm. So they're getting that sense of connection with me and that ability to see what we're about through the variety of different ways of you know, getting the name out there. Really.
And again, for our listeners, the key thing is that use of variety. So I love the way you've talked about, use social media, use the channels that work. You're using like video blogs, as you've talked about. But also the key one you've talked about right at the beginning, which is that personal contact, visiting families. And we mustn't forget that importance of us as leaders telling our story on the one-to-ones and those individual conversations. In my book, in chapter one, I talk about the way we inspire people is telling the story from the heart and modelling it. And so where you're going into, you know, people's homes to meet them because they're going to come and join you, that's where that will be a key part of that, isn't it? And so right at the start, before there are any children here, what is the story that you're telling? You know, is there a headline to that story? What is the story you're telling to people, both in terms of on social media or if you visit them in homes?
It's very much little snippets. You know, it's looking at the building growth, so physically seeing it grow. You know, we've got a fantastic montage of photos, primarily taken from a parent who lives just over here, who sends them in regularly for me.
Oh, brilliant.
So that's another community link.
Yeah.
Her son will be starting the nursery in September. So we've got, you know, you can physically see it there. The variety of the different things that we're just sharing with people, you know, in terms of the people that I'm meeting, so counsellors and local residents and it's just a variation, really, in terms of getting the name of the school out there and what it will look like, trying to get them to visualise it through a story, telling them about what they might see, what they would experience as a pupil at Grace Cook Primary School, some of the experiences they have in terms of, you know, working within the school grounds, but also going out and using the locality to, you know, develop that curiosity. And really giving them a sense of, you know, it will be a school that will be similar to schools that perhaps that they associated in the past, but also those, as I said, a phrase I used before, those little pockets of innovation, things that are slightly different from other schools. So something they say about our school, we do this, and perhaps it's not something that's repeated at other schools.
Yeah. So what you're saying is it's snippets, it's dropping these things in, it goes back again to the core purpose around being innovative. You're going to drop that into those conversations. And you also said about telling the story of the future. This is what it will look like, which again takes it back to Seth Godin's thing about paint a picture of the future, go there, people will follow. So you're telling that story of this is what it will look like. Come and join us. Come and be part of our community, part of our tribe. There's one other part around community, which just if we kind of explore and then we'll look at the building, the home that you base yourself in and then the top tips. But just a question around... you know, as leaders, we have this vision and purpose, but it's holding on to that and maintaining that. And I think it's really important that we surround ourselves as leaders with elders, people that can advise us, people who would be champions for the cause. But the people who, yes, will be advocates, but they won't be yes people. They will hold us to account. So have you built that into the kind of structure for both you and for the school, people who can be those elders that will be advocates but will also challenge? Have you built that into your system?
So yeah, within the school system, We'll have a local governing committee, so a governance committee, and for me, they will be like my elders, because I think elders is a phrase sometimes you associate with older people, but actually I don't believe that is the case.
No, it's just like the village elder, that brings the wisdom.
But they're, wise people who will challenge and support, so there's that governance structure. Mm. I feel there's the wider business community, there's a certain sort of eldership within that as well, but also in wider life, so there'll be people that I've come across in my working career and my social life that will, I will go to for different aspects of advice and support, depending on what the situation is.
Great, and I love what you've brought out there. As a leader, we'll put in some professional structures, e.g. for school, your school governance, and what you're looking for there, again, is a range of wisdom. You talked about maybe some from business community, but you'll want to blend within that, won't you, so that the community is reflected. But you've also talked about you personally making sure you've got people who you can turn to, who will hold you to account as an individual leader as well, which I think is really important as we start something from scratch, that we make sure we put those structures in to both protect our organisation, but also to protect ourselves. So that's fantastic. So lastly, let's just come on to home, kind of where you base yourself. So, for you here, we've heard probably in the video, you hear the beep, beep, beep of the reversing, kind of building vehicles and stuff. This building here, you haven't personally built this, have you? And you haven't personally designed the plans, but what is it as you looked at these plans that you either love about your building or this building was designed to do, and how does it fit the purpose? Is it just a building off block, or is it shaped to suit the purpose?
What I like about the buildings, because there's two of them, there's the nursery building and there's the main primary school building, is that they're built in different ways. One is a metal structure, and one is a very traditional built structure, so it's from brick. And it's just been really wonderful to see it from the ground. So the foundations going in, the actual metal structure physically going in, then seeing every element of the building going in from, internal walls that are going at the moment and the wiring, and you stand in it and you get a real sense of pride of what's going around you, and actually this will be serving the children of this area of Stonemarket for many, many years to come. So it becomes the heart of their community. And I mentioned it before that the school is the only other building in this housing development that's got a different purpose than a home. There are no other buildings at the moment, so it gives that contrast to the buildings around it, and I feel the school should be the centre of a community.
So it's the actual internal, because obviously you could come now and look and see on the outside there's a building going up, and obviously as it's finished you'll see it will look like a modern school building, but internally, is it designed then to meet the purpose for the children, to meet the purpose for community?
It's got an ebb and flow within it to allow the children to breathe within that building, within their learning sort of scope, and it will allow them to develop all the different skills that they will need, and it's also got a lovely outdoor area that they can use as well to let off a bit of that steam of energy, but also to be curious and find out things outside. But it's also got a purpose as a, it could serve as a community building to the community of the area. Mm. So it has all the elements from a modern day point of view, certainly. Some eco angles as well, with solar panels and some charging points for cars, and the way that the building is insulated really heavily as well. Mm. So those types of things from a future proofing state is important too.
So again, what you're talking about here is the building is designed to meet the needs of your purpose.
Yeah.
So again, if our listeners are thinking, well, I'm not going to be running a school, but if you're starting something from scratch, it's thinking about where I physically base myself. Will it meet the needs of what I'm trying to deliver? Will it meet the needs of the community that I'm trying to work with, or the tribe that I'm trying to form with? And thinking carefully about those kind of elements. So our time has whizzed by, Richard. So we're going to come to the point where I just ask for your top tip. So you have been starting something from scratch. We look forward to seeing and celebrating with you when you open the doors to the children in September 2022. But if you are going to be advising our listeners about starting something from scratch, what's your top tip or a couple of top tips that you would give them?
I think the key one really is plan, and go back to that plan that you originally had and just to see, right, is this the direction that I want things to go to? Am I on track to achieve certain things? So making sure that you've got that real clear plan. And then the second one I'd say is to reach out. I don't have all the answers, and it's to ask questions of people, to people. Could you help me with this? What do you think about this? Then to bring that back and say, oh, actually, do those things align to my original plan? And, you know, to make sure that you're really happy with that. So I'd say planning and reaching out, get that expertise from people around you.
Brilliant. So a real sense of where's the direction I want to take this, putting together a plan to that, and then drawing people in to build on your expertise. Yeah. And to help continue to shape that. So for any of our listeners thinking around, how do I start something from scratch? Those two key elements as part of that. Richard, thank you for helping us in the Leadership Lounge today. It's a very different lounge, obviously on the edge of a building site. Thank you to our listeners and those who've joined us on YouTube in the Leadership Lounge as well. We hope that you've really learned something about when you start something from scratch, some really key and important parts of that. And we look forward to you joining us again next month in the Leadership Lounge.